Well, friends, if I sit down this morning briefly, that's because I've got a bit of a sore leg, so please forgive me if I do. Look, grab a pen. I wonder if you think of yourself as a blessed person. A blessed person. I want you to write down on your piece of paper the blessings that you see from God in your life. What are some of the blessings of God in your life? Just write, note them down. No one's going to check them, test them, examine them or anything like that. Just make a note quickly of whatever blessings you can think of that God has given to you. It may depend on, you know, what life is dealing out to you at the moment, how you feel about this. But write down what you can. Okay. Now, I'm hoping you've got at least one thing there. Most of us, I think, would probably at least put one item down, but probably you've got more than that. You might have two or three in the time I've given you to quickly write it down. You might have more than that. And I suspect if I gave you even more time, you'd have quite a long list of things that you could say, thank you, God, for giving me that. Well, today and this term, we're going to take a break from Acts and our short series on Psalms to think about the blessings of God to everyone who is a Christian. That is, to everyone who has personally put their trust in Jesus to be their Lord to obey and as their Saviour to rescue them on the great day to come. Everyone who is like that has the blessings of God. Now, the blessings of God are astonishingly rich, much more than health and the worldly goods that I think first pop into my mind, at least. Though, for all kinds of reasons, I think we find it difficult to actually really appreciate these blessings of God. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, 14, Paul, knowing our weaknesses and how hard it is for us, he actually explains them explicitly. He tells us what these blessings are. And over the term, we're going to look at the beauty of each one of these blessings. And my hope is that this will refresh our joy in God and our desire for him and enrich the thankfulness of our hearts and our lives. Now, our focus today is on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So, it's up on the screen, or in your Bibles. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's the verse I want us to focus on today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have blessed us in Christ Jesus with so many blessings. Father, we find it hard sometimes to realise just how great they are. We pray that today and over the weeks to come, you'd help us to understand the verses that we're looking at and appreciate and rejoice in the greatness of all that you've given us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, firstly, let's look at what does the word blessed mean. And by the way, you'll notice that you've got a blank page for the sermon outline, so the sermon outline's going to appear up here if you want to put it up. What does the word blessed mean? Blessed. Well, it means that God has done us good. That's what it means. God has done us good. In one way or another, God has given us an honour by giving us good gifts. The word itself in the original language means to praise or to extol. That's where I get the idea of honour from. It means to speak well of, and from there it comes to mean bestow favour upon someone, to give benefits to someone. And we who know Christ have been bestowed favour. We've been given benefits. Good has been done to us. This is an honour from God, a great honour, utterly undeserved, completely undeserved. And not just one favour, but many of them. And not just any good, but great good, extraordinary good. Wretches that we are, God has honoured us by his blessings that he's given us. To get a bit of a sense of the size of what we've been given, this honour is not a $100 tip. Rather, we have been given Bill Gates' billions thousands of times over as a free gift, completely undeserved. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, but there's much more to it than that. Much more to the blessings of God. Now, where are the blessings of God from? Let's see if I can get that on. Where are the blessings of God from? Well, the first thing to say is that they are from God. That's what the verse says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. They're from God and Father of our Lord Jesus. They're from the Creator of everything that exists, the one who created you and me, the one who sustains us, the God who gave up his Son for humanity. That God has blessed us. The righteous judge of the living and the dead, who will in no wise acquit the guilty, this God has blessed us. And the verse says that these blessings are in Christ. God has done this good for us, all the blessings he has given, the profound honours we have received so unworthily, which we're going to be looking at over the weeks to come. They have all come to us in Christ. Now, nothing God has created or done or gives comes in any other way than through Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and in other places that all of it and us is for Christ. He made it all, and he made it for Jesus. But I want you to notice that the blessings he's talking about here, that he's about to speak of, which we see introduced in verse 3, he says, come in Christ. You notice that? In Christ. What he's talking about here are blessings that are only enjoyed by a person who is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, trusting him and serving him and waiting for him to return. That's the person who is in Christ. Are you in Christ? I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm asking if you're in Christ, in that relationship with Christ. Well, so the blessings of God come from God and are in Christ. They're enjoyed in that personal relationship with Christ. What sort of blessings have we received? Well, in the verses to come, we're going to learn more about all this, of course. But from verse 3, there are a couple of things that are worth noticing. Firstly, he's given us every blessing. He's not just given us one blessing, not just a few, but every blessing God has to give, he has given us. It's not as if from his billions, God has only given us a $100 gift and kept the rest for himself, if you'll excuse the image. No, God has given us the lot, all of it. Do you remember the story of the serpent when he was speaking to Eve in the garden way back in the beginning? Do you remember what his strategy was? His strategy was to persuade Eve that God was not really being good and generous to her or to Adam. That his threats of punishment were actually empty threats, you won't die. And that God really was just keeping something good from her and Adam, the possibility of being like God. And, you know, he succeeded in his trick, didn't he? Because when she looked at the fruit again, she thought it looked pretty good. And I wonder, do you look at your life sometimes and wonder if God really has given you every blessing? Do you think, oh, maybe God hasn't blessed me as much as he's blessed that person over there? Well, I want you to stop in those moments and remember that that is the devil speaking. It's the serpent speaking when those thoughts come into our minds. The serpent, the devil, wants you to doubt that God is complete in his goodness to you. He wants you to think God is holding something back from you. And it's a lie. It's a complete lie. There's no truth in it. You see what the Bible says. This verse tells us that God has given us every blessing. That is what God says, which is very different to what the serpent says. Secondly, it says that God has given us every spiritual blessing. And he tells us that they are in heavenly places. Worldly blessings, they are at best temporary, and they fade and disappear into meaninglessness. Now, we ourselves find it hard to believe that that is the case. We are so entranced by worldly blessings. That is our focus. We're going to think a little bit more about that a little bit later. But think again. Spiritual blessings, heavenly blessings, they're not fading and disappearing. They are actually enduring and eternal. Nothing and no one can take them from us. Death cannot separate us from them. Paul says that very thing in the famous passage in Romans chapter 8. Most of you will probably know it. The famous bit about nothing being able to separate us from the love of Christ. And he talks about death and demons and enemies. God doesn't promise us material blessings in this world. If he has given you some, and if you're sitting in this room, that's the truth, he has. Thank him and use it for his glory, not your own, and use it in rich generosity. But God never promises us material blessings. We're to look to the Jesus who had no place to rest his head. We're to look to the Jesus whose destiny was the cross. That's the model that's to shape our expectation and our wills as we follow Christ. And so God's blessings are only ours in Christ. They are of the best kind, spiritual, eternal, heavenly blessings. They belong to eternity and the glory of heaven, rather than the passing and fading glory of this dark world. They are not few, but many. They are overflowing and richly abundant. What great things God has done for us, who deserve absolutely nothing from Him. How can we praise this God? How wonderful He is. And yet we seem to appreciate those blessings so little. Let's think about that for a moment. Why do we appreciate all these blessings that he's speaking of in this passage so little? One reason might be that we just don't quite understand them. We don't realise that they're there. Now, if we're not giving time to reading our Bibles thoughtfully, we certainly won't be understanding them. And all we will have to ponder are worldly things, and that's where our vision will be. But maybe it's the difficulty of grasping what we're reading and the full impact of what we're reading. If that's the case, I hope this series of talks this term is going to be a big help and a big encouragement to you. But maybe it's because we can grasp the material world better than the spiritual realities. Maybe that's the reason. I find it easier to understand my bank balance than I do the truths of heaven. I don't know how you go. Mind you, if you hand me a sheet of numbers from an accountant, I'm completely lost. But I do find the bottom line of the bank balance in my bank account a bit easier to understand. Well, maybe it's because when earthly, worldly things, like the kids' education or my retirement fund or our health or our holiday, when those things are mixed with our sinful nature, it actually makes the world's blessings dangerous to us. You ever thought about that? The world's blessings might be dangerous to us. That was the case for Israel. They continued. God gave them a wonderful land with houses they did not build and crops they did not plant. And he filled their barns and houses to overflowing. But he had to warn them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you can read it for yourself, that with all this abundance that he was handing over to them so richly and wonderfully, he had to warn them that they should not forget the Lord who saved them and who brought them into all this blessing and took them out of slavery and made them free in this wonderful land. And that was, of course, the very mistake that they, in fact, made. Material wealth, and we here in Terry Hills, no matter what you think, we are incredibly wealthy people on the world scale. And we have the best of the world available to us only a few minutes away from here. The beach, the bush, the city. It's a fantastic place. And we face the same temptation that with all this wonderful blessing, we forget God who gave us this blessing. And the other way our sinful nature makes the world's blessings dangerous is that we are easily intoxicated by the world. And we get engrossed in the world. So much so that, like that rich young ruler that Jesus met, we find it so hard to pass up what is here now in front of us for the things of the kingdom of God and what is important there. We forget just how meaningless this wealth we have really is. We forget that it's all an illusion. We forget it is not reality. This world is passing away, friends. All you have is going to disappear. everything, everything we work for materially. And the rich and the powerful and the poor will pass away with it. The spiritual blessings God has given us are vastly, infinitely better. They will never pass away. If only we'll set our hearts on them instead. Well, where do we go to from here? God has blessed you. If you're a person who hopes in Christ, who relies on his death for you, is looking forward to his return, God has blessed you. He has given you every blessing. We're like so often a man who thinks he's scored a fortune because he's been given a $100 tip. We're focused and fussing about protectively with our bank balances. We're consumed with having the perfect holiday overseas, giving our kids the ideal education, and having that smart TV, worried about our perfect health, setting up our retirement, not realising that with all our concerns and worries about all these things, all we're doing is playing with the $100 note and ignoring the vast, vast, vast wealth that is ours in Christ. Alas, that's the truth for most of us, certainly the truth for me. So let's make a start at change by making a practice of thanking God for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ that we'll see as we unravel them in over these weeks in Ephesians. And I hope you'll come along each week to look at each one so that you can thank God. Make a habit of it. Even if you haven't exactly grasped this whole idea of a spiritual blessing, start thanking God for them anyway. You'll be surprised at how God works to fill in your understanding as you do this. As well, let's work at engaging our minds a little bit more deeply with our Bible reading, more thoughtfully, to search out the blessings of God. You'll find them in one form or another everywhere you look in the Bible. When you do, thank God again. Praise him for these blessings. And finally, I want to encourage you to make Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9, your prayer. What does it say? Look up at the screen. What does it say? Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I might have too much and disown you, as Israel did, and say, who is the Lord? Or I might become poor and steal, and so dishonour the name of my God. What a great prayer. What a great prayer. In fact, if you stop and think about it, isn't that what Jesus taught each one of us in the Lord's Prayer? To ask simply for our daily bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask those two things of you. Please help us to keep lies and falsehood afar from us. Don't give us poverty and don't give us riches either, but give us only our daily bread so that we might not dishonour you by saying, who are you? in our own pride, or become poor and steal and dishonour your name. And teach us rich thankfulness, not just for the worldly blessings you have given us, which are passing and fading, but the much richer and deeper spiritual blessings you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have an opportunity to ask questions, as always, and you can SMS a question to me if that's what you'd like to do, and I have my device all ready, so just shoot them up. Anyone got any questions or comments they'd like to ask or say, or any reflections on what I've just said that would help us all? Yes, Peter. Well, look, brother, I think I want to disagree. I think we can appreciate them, start appreciating them right now. I don't think we have to reach a certain spiritual height. I think we just have to think about our Bibles. And I hope that as we look at these verses in the weeks to come, whether you think of yourself up here or down here or wherever it may be, that as you think about them, they will build intimacy into your life. There's no doubt about it. Once your heart starts to burst, when you realise just how great these things are, it builds your intimacy with God. So these are a path to that intimacy, I think. Yeah, that's what I'd suggest. Yes, Brian. Yeah.
Things that we have. But you have said one line that I wondered if you'd like to just explain a bit more. You said this world is an illusion, not reality. So I just want to maybe need you to clarify what that
is. Yeah, okay. Yes, it's important that I do that. This is the real world out here. I mean, it's real. God, that's a real tree. If it falls on this building, it'll really do some damage. It's a real tree, real damage. I'm really thinking about it in terms of hopes and expectations. This world out here, which is a real world, it is reality, but there is no substantial hope in this world. Everything will disappear. And the storm's already brought some trees down. We're hoping it doesn't bring that one down. We will all grow old. All our wealth will be passed on to someone else. We don't know whether they'll be wise or foolish. The book of Ecclesiastes says it's all meaningless. I think that was what I was trying to get at. Perhaps a little bit ineptly, but it was that sense that we so often focus on this world, on my health, on how much savings I've got, how my investments going, if I had any. That's what I'd be saying. Where are my investments? How happy is my family? And that's a good thing to ask, and there are certain practical points at which we've got to think about how much money is in the bank. But it's the people who have been blessed by Christ. They're the minor, tiny things. All that's going to pass away. The big thing is Christ and our blessings in him. Thanks. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, reflections? Nick. You'll have to be there that week, won't you, Nick? When you come along that Sunday, we'll talk about it. We'll get to that verse. Yes, Trevor. And he said, what? Wonderful. Wonderful. We do. Yeah. Okay, we might wrap up there and move on. I think we're going to...